come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to The Bill Frank Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests has an interesting subject, no two of which are related. My next guest was convicted for bank robbery and served his sentence with some of the most hardened criminals in the federal penitentiary system. He had to overcome significant obstacles to better himself once he decided to change for the better. He'll help us understand the prisons in which we find ourselves and how to overcome obstacles to reach our goals. Troy Evans was sentenced to 13 years in federal prison back in 1992. He was convicted of 5 armed bank robberies in 3 different states over a 6-month crime spree. His neighbors in prison included the notorious criminals Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols. Troy was released on December 13, 1999, over 7.5 years later. He was determined that his time behind the bars would not be wasted time. Education was his saving grace. When Troy walked out of prison, he had carried with him 2 degrees that he obtained with a 4.0 grade point average and a designation on the dean's and the president's list. He is now a motivational speaker. Audiences are stunned by his endurance, his accomplishments, his remarkable personal transformation. Troy shows how the keys to success in prison are the keys to success today and how these lessons can be applied to escaping the prisons within ourselves. Joining us from the greater Phoenix area. Hi, Troy. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Bill. Pleasure being with you today.
Well, thank you for being on the show and sharing your message. And I guess the first place to start is life. You face a lot of decisions in life, and every decision carries with it consequences of your action. In your early life, you were marked by several bad decisions that eventually landed you in prison for over 7 years when you were about 28 years old. Tell us, what circumstances spawned the decisions you made when you became a bank robber?
Quite simply, it was drug use. And you know, obviously, having met and interviewed over 300 convicted bank robbers and having been in the business myself, I'd say probably 75% of them, that's the reason they're committing these crimes. They're strung out on drugs. And, you know, it started for me. We made a move when I was 15 years old from one major city to another, and I just got involved with the wrong people, you know, over the short 3 summer months before school started, and athletics and academics and the things that were important to me started back up again, and I just started with a little marijuana use, and it just turned to the point where drugs were the most important thing in my life, and it just literally seemed like it happened overnight, but in the course of about a year and a half, they just became the most important thing in my life, and I graduated to the point where, you know, robbing banks was the only way that I was going to be able to feed the addiction I had at that time. And
Talk to us, though, Troy. I mean, you know, even drug-induced people have some sense of reasoning. How did you get to the point where you figured that bank robbery was your only solution to getting the money that you needed to support your drug habit?
To be honest with you, I knew that's where the money was. I had dated a teller at one time, so I knew a lot of the inside secrets, if you will, on what their security procedures are, that type of thing. But, you know, it was one of those things where, to be honest with you, I was at the point in my life where it was either going to be I was going to feed my habit for another 30, 60 days by committing that robbery, or I was going to make the police show up and do something I didn't have the guts to do myself. Suicide by police is what they call that today. So just a very, very much an act of desperation, and I didn't care if I lived or if I died, but I knew one thing. There was a drug habit that had to be fed, and that's what fueled the crime wave, if you will.
Wow. My guest is Troy Evans, a former bank robber. He's talking to us about the prison inside of each of us. So enough about your past. What was the epiphany in prison that really helped you change the course of your life?
You know, I was very lucky in that I was sent to a detention facility while I went through trial, and over that 6-month period, I was able to kind of connect with that person I was before I started making the wrong decisions. And, you know, I just asked myself, you know, and told myself, Troy, you know what, you're going to be where you're going to be for a very long time. What are you going to do with this time? And, you know, I sat around and I watched guys play cards, play dominoes, and watch TV for 14, 16 hours a day, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And I'd look at this and I'd think to myself, is this how these guys are going to make a living when they get out of here? And I just couldn't fathom spending all that time in that fashion. And to be honest with you, going in, if you would have told me that I would have survived those 7.5 years of being locked in a cage, I would have told you, you know, that you were crazy. But, you know, human beings are very, very amazing at adapting to their environment, to their situation. And I think Well, as a matter of fact, I know that's one of the things that the audience comes away with when they hear me deliver a keynote is, you know, if Troy could accomplish what he did in the violent and harsh confines of a federal penitentiary, when I tell them the stories about the gangs and the drugs and people losing their life over 69-cent pins and the riots and that type of thing, they, you know, they walk away with, you know what, out of here maybe these obstacles are potholes or barriers that I have in front of me, they don't look so insurmountable all of a sudden. And, you know, maybe losing a job or, you know, the economy tanking or, you know, maybe losing a house or, you know, just whatever's going on in their everyday life, that all of a sudden it just doesn't look so insurmountable anymore. So it's definitely, they walk away with, you know, I can do this. I just got to keep knocking on the door and I just got to keep pushing. And eventually, you know, if I'm doing the right things and I'm working hard and I'm treating others as I want to be treated and kind of the golden rule type of thing, magical things are going to happen in your life. And I just look at all the doors that were open for me and that continue to be open today. And I keep pinching myself. It's just something new just keeps coming along just when I think it can't get any better.
My guest is Troy Evans, a former bank robber who really turned his life around. And Troy, most of the listeners listening to the sound of our voices really have never spent much time in prison, if any time at all, and they don't know the violence that goes on in there. To really solidify and make that point, tell a Charlie Dodson story.
Yeah, there was a guy that I was locked up with, actually a friend of mine. We took some classes together. Good guy as far as the con goes, very respectful of others, never got in anybody's way. Center fielder on my prison softball team. Charlie and I worked in Unicor, Federal Prison Industries. Our particular facility built furniture. I worked upstairs in the business office as an accountant. Charlie worked downstairs on the floor actually assembling the furniture. And one day I walked over to the copier, and as my copy was running, I looked through a big plate glass window, and I saw laying on the assembly floor below me was my friend Charlie Dodson, a 3-foot pool of blood surrounding his head, and another inmate standing over him with a 4-foot oak table leg, repeatedly bringing it down on Charlie's head, although it was obvious Charlie had been dead for some time. And I opened my mouth to scream, "Stop! Somebody stop what's happening here," and no words came out. 50 to 60 other inmates were stood in a circle where this was taking place, just like me. No words came out of their mouth. They didn't try to stop what was happening. They didn't go to get anybody to stop what was happening, because in prison, you mind your own business, or that'll be you on the floor the next day. And you know, I tell the story, you know what, Charlie Dodson lost his life over that day? A 69-cent paper-made pin, and I hold a pin up and show the audience. The other inmate accused him of walking by his workstation of picking a 69-cent pin off of his desk, thus disrespecting him, thus giving him the right to take Charlie's life. And, you know, I get Charlie Dodson broke the laws of our society. He deserved to be incarcerated, but he didn't deserve to lose his life over a 69-cent pin, and his wife of 10 years and his 8-year-old daughter didn't deserve to lose their husband and their father over a 69-cent pin. And if that story isn't horrific enough, Charlie was going home in 3 weeks. He had served his 3-year sentence and was going home in less than a month. So, you know, it's the animalistic brutality of that kind of environment can't even really be described. I mean, I can tell stories about it, but until you've actually been in that environment, you just can't even imagine how brutal it is.
Yeah, it's a horrific, brutal story. My guest is Troy Evans. So, Troy, when you were in prison, you decided that education was going to put you on a better path. How difficult was it for you to pursue an education in prison once you made the decision to do so?
It was very tough. I spent every free minute I had, 14, sometimes 16 hours a day, sitting in my tiny little prison desk, in my tiny little prison cell, filling out applications, writing essays, begging, pleading, and selling myself to absolutely every private scholarship across the country that I even remotely qualified for. But, you know, I was a con. I was a felon. Every day at mail call, I got a stack of rejection letters 6 to 8 inches tall saying, "Thanks, but no thanks. Congress had voted away Pell Grants for the incarcerated. I was 2 years into my first degree, and it looked like my dream of earning a college degree just wasn't going to happen." And, you know, I kept persevering. I wasn't going to give up. And, you know, one day a guard stuck his head in my cell, and he said, "Get down to your counselor's office. He wants to see you immediately." And I shuffled down to my counselor's office, and he told me, "Sit down. I just got a phone call on you from a guy in Auburn, Alabama, a scholarship committee chairman with the National Association. They're interested in helping you with your schooling." And then it all came back to what I had been through the past 6 months. And a week after that day, I was called into my counselor's office. I got a letter from that association and a check for one class, just one single class, and took that class, mailed them my report card. They sent me a check for two classes. I again mailed them my report card, and it snowballed to the point where they were funding entire semesters, and the end result was, as you said in the introduction, me walking out those doors of prison with two college degrees, both earned with a 4.0 GPA and placement on the Deans and Presidents list. So it was just one of those things where, you know, as I said earlier, if you just keep keeping on and knocking on doors and not taking no for an answer and just pushing and clawing and fighting, and if it's something that you want bad enough, eventually it's going to happen for you. You can call it karma. You're a religious person, you may call it something else, but I'm just telling you, if you're doing the right things and you're working hard and you're reaching for something, if you just keep going after it, you'll eventually get it. It's just a matter of persevering and not giving up.
My guest is Troy Evans. So, Troy, what did your fellow prisoners think of you while you were earning these degrees? I mean, you got the scholarship money, you were taking one course and then two courses, and eventually got your degree. Were you an inspiration to others in prison?
Yeah, I was, as a matter of fact. There were a couple of individuals that I helped get scholarships as well. One of them, I've heard through the grapevine, not only got his bachelor's but went on to get his MBA. But it was just a handful of people that I helped. I chose to help people that I knew wanted to help themselves. I know there's a lot of scamming and obviously conning going on in the prison systems, and I wasn't going to share with them what I was doing if I thought there was a chance that they'd take the funds and use them for something other than schooling. And, you know, one of the stories that I tell from the platform is about three gang members who wanted me to smuggle drugs into the prison through the visiting room using my family and friends as mules because I got visits every weekend because I was so close to home, which wasn't the norm. Most of the guys I was locked up with came from, you know, across the country, New York, California, you know, Texas. And, you know, these guys, they told me I was going to do this or they were going to kill me. And, you know, it came to the point where one day they came into my cell carrying with them the shanks that they kill each other with in prison. And it's something I show the audience members from the stage. And, you know, they told me, you're going to do this. Are you going to do this or aren't you? And I, you know, my first impression was, I'll do whatever you say, just please put those things away. But then something stronger than my fear overcame me. I thought about my family and how they were, I had always sacrificed them and how I'd always put myself first and how my son was committed to me no matter where I was. And I don't know where the strength came, but from somewhere inside of me came, I'm not going to do it. You're going to have to do what you came to do. And, you know, I believe things happen for a reason. That a moment later, a jingle of keys can be heard coming down the corridor, guards on his way. So they take their shanks and they throw them underneath my mattress. And when he gets to my cell, he sticks his head in because you're only allowed to have two inmates in a cell at a time. He says, Evans, what are these guys doing in here? And I said, they're not doing anything. We're just visiting. And he ordered them out. And I gathered up their shanks and I took them back to him one at a time and I handed them to him. And I told him, I think you guys forgot something. And they never bothered me again. The gangs never bothered me again. And, you know, whether it was because they could see in my eye that I was no longer going to take that easy road or because I didn't tell the guard what they were doing in my cell that day, whatever the reason, I was never bothered again. But just in a kind of a roundabout way, those same three gang members came to me about a year later and asked me to help turn their lives around. They asked how they could get scholarships and go to college, and they saw what I was achieving. And it just goes to show you, if you're doing the right things and keeping your nose to the grindstone and working hard, it just comes to full circle that those three individuals that came in to kill me that day came back a year later and asked me to help them get scholarships. And I did help, ended up helping one of them, and he did go on to earn his bachelor's degree, and he's very successful out in the business world now since his release.
Wow, that's a powerful story. My guest is Troy Evans. So, Troy, to me, there's a certain irony that here you are, you're an incarcerated felon, and yet you look out at the rest of us in the real world, and you recognize we have our own prisons that we're all living in. So what does it take for many of us to recognize our prisons and then to plan our escapes?
Sure. You know, I'm a huge believer in prison does not necessarily mean steel bars and razor wire. You know, we all have internal prisons within ourselves. Talking about being a prisoner of things like fears, addictions, overworking, being involved in bad relationships. I mean, the list can go on and on, and these can be just as debilitating as the one that had me caged up for those 7.5 years. And, you know, what's really important is to address those things, and, you know, don't stay in the situations you're in. Make changes. Don't be afraid to make a change, and, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to reach out. There's too many people out there that are going from their 9-to-5 job, and they're not accomplishing what they want to accomplish, and they don't have goals set, and there's not things that they're striving to achieve. And, they look back later in their life, and so many people have regrets that, you know, that they didn't get out of that relationship, or they didn't beat that addiction, or they didn't achieve what they wanted in their career, or they didn't follow their dreams. And, you know, I'm just here to tell you, when everything's taken away from you, and it's nothing but steel bars and razor wire, you start to appreciate the things we have out here in the free world. And it's just, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, stop and smell the roses. It's the old cliche that everybody talks about. There's literally not a day that goes by that I don't stop and appreciate sitting under a tree or petting my dog or walking barefoot in the grass or holding a girl's hand or, I mean, all those things that we just, we pass by every day and we don't pay any attention to it. I can't tell you, those are the things that grated on me every day. I would have given anything for those simple, simple things. And so we just need to really stop and appreciate what we do have, and we need to make changes in the areas that are unhealthy for us. Like I said, the list goes on and on, and you know what your prisons are if you honestly sit down and see what's keeping you from being what you want to be, or what's keeping you, what fear is keeping you in that relationship, or, you know, what addiction has a grip on your life, or, you know, what job is holding you back, or what's keeping you from realizing your dreams. And, you know, if you honestly just sit down and assess those things and make a plan on how you can change them, you definitely can do it. And that's one of the things that's most rewarding for me, is I get people to understand after they hear me deliver a keynote that, you know what, I can do this out here in the free world with all the resources I have at my disposal. If Troy could do what he did with those limited resources out here, there's literally almost nothing that I can't accomplish if I set my mind to it. So it's just a matter of identifying those internal prisons and figuring out how you're going to deal with them.
My guest is Troy Evans, a former bank robber, talking about the prison inside of each of us. So Troy, what keys to success did you learn in prison that you apply to your life daily?
You know, I think the biggest one is having goals. I personally have goals in every single aspect of my life, and I mean every single aspect, whether it's in my business, in relationships, health-wise, material wants and needs. And just by habit, I ask myself several times a day, is what you're doing right now, Troy, getting you any closer to those goals? And if it's not, then I change what I'm doing. It's that simple. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have time going to the movie, going to the mall, doing your favorite, laying around, reading. I'm not saying that. It's all about balance in our lives, but I think we all need to have some kind of a time management tool that assures us we're using our time as effectively as we can. And, you know, as I said, I just ask myself, what you're doing right now? And I just, you know, I've heard fellow speakers tell people, take out a piece of paper and write your goals down, and then put it in a drawer and take a look at it 30 days later and see if you're any closer to accomplishing them. And, you know, if I say if your goals are living on a piece of paper in a drawer, you're not going after them. Mine are embossed and blazed in my mind. I'm constantly striving to achieve them. And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things. And the value of time, you know, it's our most precious resource. You can't recycle it. You can't regenerate it. You can't rejuvenate it. Once it's gone, it's gone. And I just believe it's our most precious thing that we have. And, you know, look at how you're using it. And just as importantly as having the goals, make sure you're spending a great amount of the time with the loved ones in your life. And I'm in particular talking about the people in our everyday lives who we assume are always going to be there. They get the peck on the cheek when we come home at the end of the day. They get the same one as we walk out the door in the morning. The people we assume are always going to be there, they're not always going to be there. And I didn't realize how important these people were until they were taken away from me. And I tell people, you know, don't have regrets later. Regrets later are mistakes made today. It's not what we have in our lives, but who. And we all need to ask ourselves, are we spending the least time with what's most important? Don't give the best hour of the day to your job. Give the best hour of the day to the loved ones in your life. That's truly what's important to us.
Very sound words. My guest has been Troy Evans, former bank robber. Troy, you've probably struck a chord with many of the listeners that are out there. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about your past, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
My website, which is simply my name, TroyEvans.com, TROYEVANS.com. So if you, or you can Google Troy Evans and it'll come up. So if you can remember my name, you can definitely find me.
All right, Troy. It has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill. Have a good day.
And you too.